Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." It is good to be back this morning. This is Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We have a live audience today with us. I'd like to welcome Brother Bill Conrad. He's a young preacher in our church at Mount Lebanon, and he just came along today to visit with us and set in, so he doesn't have a mic, but I'd like to say good morning to him and also my son. He's running the board over there, and I appreciate Noah. Noah, hope you're all right today.
I am. It's good to be here. And I'd like to welcome the listeners we have on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, and also those who listen in on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia.
We appreciate that. We appreciate all of our listeners, and we are looking at, going to get right into the content of the radio broadcast today because I've got a lot I'd like to cover. We're looking at civil government in America, scriptural principle first of all. We're going to give a historical incident today and then try to apply it to our present day. And so for the past several weeks, we've been looking very closely at the text in the Declaration of Independence, and we're going to start there today. I want to read out of the Declaration of Independence, but first of all, just the principle that the majority of people may alter or abolish a government which has become tyrannical. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. The majority of people may alter or abolish a government which has become tyrannical. And we've been reading, goodness, no, I don't even know how many weeks, four, five, six, where we've just been in the Declaration of Independence. And so we're going to jump right in, sort of second paragraph, halfway down. I'm sure you don't have one to look along with me this morning. I will try to read very carefully, and I want you to listen very carefully at what the Declaration of Independence is saying here. We're going to make a scriptural application. This is a serious subject we're talking about. We're talking about we're talking about abolishing or altering a government which has become tyrannical. And so listen very carefully. It's just been talking about we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It goes on down and says, this is why governments are instituted among men. Then it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, and that's talking about the reason for which we have governments, the protection of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. He says, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. You just don't go about changing the government for piddly little reasons. That's my modern day interpretation there. It says, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And so I read that very carefully. I hope you were able to listen along this morning. Now, the very fact that I feel as if I must be very careful and guarded how I present this subject lets me know that something is not right in America. You know, I started to say a minute ago, overthrow, and then I corrected myself. I'm not talking about overthrowing. The Declaration of Independence says abolish or alter. I felt like I needed to correct that. Lest somebody is listening in and makes a call and says, you know, they're down there talking about overthrowing the government. We're not talking about overthrowing. I'm not advocating overthrowing. I'm not advocating any type of violence whatsoever. I'm just talking about historical things. I'm talking about today a subject, freedom, liberty. I'm reading from documents that are historical documents, the Bible, the Word of God. I'm reading from the Bible, the Declaration of Independence, the unanimous Constitution of these United States. I'm talking about our founders, Washington and Jefferson and Adams and great men such as John Locke and William Gladstone. And, you know, once upon a time in America, this would just be a common history lesson in any grade school, in any state in the United States of America. Nobody would even bat an eye at talking about these things. I'm talking about when I was growing up, and certainly when my parents and grandparents were growing up. But today, the subject, the historical facts that we're talking about, is by many people considered to be volatile. Threatening to the powers that be. Many in government today. I heard Schumer up in New York. I heard Harry Reid out in Nevada talking about along the lines of the Tea Party movement and people who I would consider being patriotic. I would consider the Tea Party movement, which I'm not a card-carrying member. I don't know if anybody is, but I certainly agree with much of what they're all about. But the politicians have labeled the Tea Party people as radicals, extremist, dangerous. Back a summer or two ago, they were talking about the violent people, and there's been no violence out of people in the Tea Party. There's been violence out of the left and the unions and that group of people in America, but certainly I haven't seen any from the Tea Party individuals. Senator Lindsey Graham, just this past weekend, he's a senator from South Carolina. He said this. He said, freedom of speech is a great idea, but we're in a war. You know, it amazes me how these people get in to begin with, and then it really amazes me how they stay in, how they are continually elected over and over and over again. But when I heard him say that, I mean, when I hear somebody who ought to be a defender of the Constitution of the United States, I mean, when they are elected in, they are sworn in, and when they're sworn in, they take an oath, and in that oath, they take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. One person I was listening to said they begin to break that as soon as they let their hand down. As soon as they get done, they forget about the Constitution, that they took an oath to defend the Constitution, and it ought to cause alarm signals to go out or to go up for us when somebody who is supposed to be a defender of the Constitution actually comes out and attacks the Constitution. What he is saying, you know, well, it's a great idea, but we're in a war. Well, not officially. They haven't come out and declared war anywhere that I know of. You know, they talk about war and everything. But, you know, in Libya, although we're bombing and fighting and killing, and the CIA's on the ground over there, and not to mention the other countries that we're involved in, but, you know, this is just military action, but it's not a war. But he's talking about that we're in a war, and freedom of speech is a great idea and all these things. What causes alarm for me is that if you attack the First Amendment, where it talks about freedom of speech, it also, in the First Amendment, talks about freedom of religion. And what Lindsey Graham was talking about in particular there was this pastor in Florida that burned a Koran, and now in Afghanistan they're going about killing and rioting and all of these things, and they're going to look into this pastor. Well, if they start looking into him and what he's doing, you know, down the road they're going to end up looking into me and what I'm doing and what I'm saying. And if you attack the First Amendment, and then you've got a whole other group of people there attacking the Second Amendment, and just a total disregard many times for the Constitution of the United States. Now, it ought to cause us to be alarmed what's going on in America today, and here is why. First of all, a scriptural principle to go by. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. The Bible says this: let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Some would say, from the right and the left. Well, there you go. Christians should obey the government because it has been ordained of God. That is basically what Romans 13 and verse 1, and I encourage you know, get a Bible and read the whole chapter there, but especially the first few verses. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So Christians, listen to the government, obey the government. God allowed the government that is. And I agree 100% with that. I do not disagree with the Bible. Christians should strive to be model citizens in every way. They should obey the laws, pay your taxes. Christians, above all others, pray for those that are in authority. This is all things that we find in the Bible. But what we're dealing with here in the Declaration of Independence, and also referring to Romans chapter number 13, we're dealing with a government that is out of control, gone wild. As it specifically says here in the Declaration of Independence, when I read to begin with, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. That is what we're talking about today. So we need to ask ourselves the question, who is government anyway? Who is government? Who are we to be subject to? Who is the higher powers that we're talking about in Romans chapter 13? And the answer to that is found in the preamble to the Constitution. And I've made this point more than once here on Blessings of Liberty, but I'm going to say it again. At the very beginning of the Constitution of the United States, the preamble, it says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. So, in the United States of America, the powers that be for us is we the people. We the people established and ordained the Constitution, the law of the land, the law which we live by, the law which designates and directs and dictates the limited abilities of the government. We the people. Miss Virginia Fox, when she's been on the radio broadcast before, she said the most three important words outside of the Bible that we as Americans will find, she said, we the people. How important that is. So the Constitution is the government of the United States. I read last week, and we were running out of time, but I read a little bit from some writings by Elbridge. That's a funny name. I checked it. That was the fellow's name. Elbridge, E-L, and the word bridge, Elbridge. Elbridge Gerry. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and of the Articles of Confederation. He refused to sign the Constitution because at that time it did not include a Bill of Rights, and that was a big controversy. When it came to the signing of the Constitution, they wanted, many of them wanted, a Bill of Rights to go along with it. But anyway, he was the fifth vice president under James Madison. But he wrote an article, it just simply says, on patriotism and the power of the people. And what we are experiencing or going through today in America, it is not anything new. There's always been a struggle, the people, to limit and keep in check the government. He said this, when patriotism is discountenanced and public virtue becomes the ridicule of the sycophant, when every man of liberality, firmness, and penetration who cannot lick the hand stretched out to oppress is deemed an enemy to the state. What he's saying there, when a patriotic, God-fearing, good citizen, when he is deemed an enemy of the state, something is wrong. And, of course, they were dealing with it then. He said, then is the gulf of despotism set open and the grades to slavery, though rapid, are scarce perceptible. He said, self-defense is a primary law of nature, which no subsequent law of society can abolish. The government cannot take away the right to self-defense, is what he's saying there. He said, this primeval principle, the immediate gift of the Creator, God has given this right to us. He said, it obliges everyone to remonstrate against the strides of ambition and a wanton lust of domination and to resist the first approaches of tyranny, which at this day threaten to sweep away the rights for which the brave sons of America have fought with an heroism scarcely paralleled even in the ancient republics. And so he was saying there, we need to guard our freedoms. If we don't do this, they will be swept away. And God has given us the right to self-defense. He was talking about, and I read this last week, he said, all writers on government agree, and the feelings of the human mind witness the truth of these political axioms. He goes on down and he says that the origin of all power is in the people, and that they have an incontestable right to check the creatures of their own creation. He said we better make sure that we guard and keep in check the government. If we don't, they will overrun. They will influence and take over every little part of our lives. So when we ask the question, who is the government? Well, we the people are the government. So in Romans chapter number 13, the higher powers in the United States of America, it's not the feds. It's not the IRS. It's not the Department of Homeland Security. It's the Constitution of the United States. We must remain faithful to that. Christians have a divine mandate to uphold the Constitution. That's what I'm faithful to. That's what I'm for our elected leaders upholding and using to guide us and lead us, even during this time of all the things that are going on in our country. I'll move along historically speaking this morning. Before and during the American Revolutionary War, the believing clergy, the pastors, the chaplains of all the different denominations, they were so supportive and influential, there was a nickname for the clergy. They called them the Black Regiment. They called them that because many of the pastors wore black robes. And they were very influential during, before, and after the American Revolutionary War. The Baptist people had a very special interest in liberty because they were, at that time, they were suffering. They were being persecuted. They were being put in prison. They were being fined. They were being harassed. Their churches were being closed by the established state religions at that time. So the Baptist people especially were very involved and very pro throwing off the government of King George, They were for the American Revolution. I'll read just a couple of examples. I've got a book called Baptist Patriots and the American Revolution, not to saying that the other denominations were not patriotic, because they were. But I've got this book. I want to share some things with you. This is from Backus Church History. He was really one of the first men who wrote down Baptist Church history, Backus, Isaac Backus. And he said this: unrighteous laws were conspiracies against God and the best interest of our race, plots of the evil one to be met by exposure and stern resistance, disobedience to which was loyalty to Jehovah. And so they were very emphatic about unrighteous laws, and that they were of the devil. That's basically what he's saying there. George Washington said this about the Baptist clergy at that time. He said, George Washington said, Baptist chaplains were among the most prominent and useful in the army. Elder McClanahan said the Baptists were among the most strenuous supporters of liberty. And I wanted to share a little something with you. I think I've got time to do this. This was something out of that book that's quoted about the Reverend John Ryland. He was from Northampton. He was very influential among the Baptists. And listen to what he said about the Revolutionary War. He said, if he was George Washington, he said, if I were Washington, I would summon all the American officers. They should form a circle around me, and I would address them, and we would offer a libation in our own blood. And I would order one of them to bring a lancet and a punch bowl, and we would bear our arms and be bled. And when the bowl was full, when we all had been bled, I would call on every man to consecrate himself to the work by dipping his sword into the bowl and entering into a solemn covenant engagement by oath, one to another. And we would swear by him that sits upon the throne that liveth forever and ever that we would never sheath our swords while there was an English soldier in arms remaining in America. And when I read that, I even wrote a note in the book, that is drastic. He said, I would get the officers together, we'd cut our arms, bleed ourselves into a punch bowl, dip our swords into it, and make a covenant together that we would never put our swords up until there was not one English officer left remaining in America. They were serious about liberty. We need to be serious about liberty. That's why I feel very strongly about this. This is one of the reasons why we have the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I do not get paid for this. I do not have sponsors. I have a burning desire in my heart that the Blessings of Liberty would continue on for my life and for my children. That's the only desire. And then I find these principles in the Word of God. I just started a book yesterday. I'll tell you this in closing. I see time is quickly coming, going to get away from us. But I started a book yesterday called Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. And it is the story of a Lutheran pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer who chose to resist and stand up to Hitler. Now, I'm still in the first chapter of the book, but the foreword I was reading yesterday, and Mr. Timothy Keller, he wrote the foreword. I believe he's a writer in the Wall Street Journal. I'm not exactly sure, but anyway, he wrote the foreword to the book. And in the foreword to that book, he tries to explain how what he calls Luther's Germany, Germany before World War I was a prosperous nation. It was a very blessed nation. They were very happy people for the most part. They were very educated, very prosperous. They had freedom. How could what he termed Luther's Germany fall under the spell of a monster like Hitler and the Nazis? And he talks about that in great detail. I'm not going to share all that with you today, but I will just give you the short answer. How could a nation follow after Hitler that once upon a time was blessed and happy and prosperous and should have known better? Here's the short answer. gross spiritual decay. They got away, far, far away from the God of the Bible and the teachings of Luther. And I want to read some scripture today, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's how a nation falls. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Does that not describe our nation today? It says in verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I could just stop right there if I had time and talk a little bit about that. I mean, people are more concerned about me, me, me. Give me something for nothing. Take care of me. Reduce my tuition. Give me an education for free. That was on the front page of the Watauga Democrat just over the weekend. You know, tax the rich, pay, I forget exactly, pay for my education. Says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That is where we are at spiritually in America today. We are religious. We have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You see, one of the things that is harmful in America today, and we have the same attitude that the Germans had before Hitler came into power. We believe in America today, we seem to have the idea that God will bless us no matter what we do, no matter how we live, no matter what our attitude is, no matter if we thank Him or not, because we're America. You know, our money says, in God we trust. Yeah, God, He'll bless us. That's not necessarily what we find in the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, and along in that passage of Scripture, there's a couple of chapters there. And basically God says, if you follow me, I will bless you. I'll bless everything you do. I'll bless your land. I'll bless your homes. I'll bless your families. I'll bless your children. I'll bless your grandchildren. I'll bless everything about you. But he goes on and says, if you do not follow me, I'll curse everything that you do. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 20, the Bible says, the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings. And then it says, whereby thou hast forsaken me. And I believe that's where we're at in America today. We have forsaken the true and the living God. We're religious but not righteous. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse 34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Many people today, they're calling for, oh, we need a revolution. A revolution in America today would absolutely destroy our nation from within, because we are not morally capable to carry it out. It would destroy us. What we need is a revival, not a revolution. There was a revival before the American Revolution, and we need to get back to God and get our hearts and lives right. Now, if you don't believe me that we're in a mess, you just keep listening in. The news is going to come on next, and I don't know what the news is going to be because I've not heard it yet this morning, but I guarantee you it's not good news for America or for the world. I so appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty. Noah's going to give our contact information just here in a moment. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening in. Go ahead, Noah.
All right. This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. The church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can contact us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.